going to read Psalm 63 as we continue in our study in the book of Psalms. Read Psalm 63 and invite you to follow along as I read God's word. Just heard a lot of it put to music. You were singing it, or at least hopefully meditating upon the words. And we'll continue to meditate upon them. Psalm 63, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth. They will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory. For the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. In Psalm 37:4, David, as he writes, refers to delighting ourselves in the Lord. He says, delight yourself in the Lord. Now, we all love the second part. And he will give you the desires of your heart. I'm not going to concentrate on that for the time being, but I want to concentrate on delighting ourselves in the Lord. What does that mean? Well, simply put, it means to find our greatest pleasure in something. To delight in something is to find our greatest pleasure in something. In this case, we're finding our greatest pleasure in the Lord. And I mind you, not in what he gives us, but in him and him alone. A modern day word picture that I picked up in my research of delighting in the Lord is the picture of new grandparents. Wow. When you talk to a new grandparent, you better be prepared to hear about their grandchildren. And especially a new grandparent. The stories will flow freely, and yes, the pictures will come out. You better be prepared because they are excited. They can't wait to tell, or they can't wait when they see the grandchild. They cannot wait until the next time they see the grandchild. Matter of fact, they really don't care if mom and dad come back unless they bring the child with them. A lot of truth to that, isn't there? The bottom line is, it's a very clear picture of people taking great pleasure in something. In this case, grandparents taking great pleasure in their grandchildren. Now, I'm just going to say, being a grandfather and my wife being a grandmother of two delightful young ladies, it's true. We've experienced that. We take great delight in them. We really do. We had them Friday night. As tired as we were on Friday, and my wife had a very challenging week at school, it was still a delight to have them in our home. What do you find yourself delighting in? What do you find yourself taking and seeking and finding your greatest pleasure in? Stop and think for a moment. There are a lot of things we can delight in, folks. Yeah, our grandchildren, for instance. If that's what our greatest delight is, Whew, pity us. As great as that is, anything, job, pleasure, shopping, playing golf, fishing, whatever it might be that you take pleasure in and seek for your pleasure in, if it is not, or if it's above, taking great pleasure and finding great pleasure and seeking great pleasure in God, then it's a sin. That's the bottom line. The background of Psalm 63 is pretty much 2 Samuel 15, 23 and following, where David is basically, as it says, in the wilderness, but David has been facing grievous troubles and he's been facing bitter hostility from personal enemies. Okay? Bitter hostility and troubles on top of troubles from personal enemies. And yet, what is he doing? What is he doing? Taking great delight in God. No matter what the circumstances are, we are to take great delight in the Lord our God. So therefore, as we look at Psalm 63, we will discover some traits of one who delights in God. And I've asked you that question, what are you taking delight in? So hopefully you will be able to definitively answer at the end of this sermon what you really are taking your greatest delight in. If you're taking your greatest delight in the Lord, I believe David is a good example to follow. Therefore, from his life and his response, under great attack, under difficult circumstances, his deepest desire is for God. We see that in verses 1 through 4. His deepest desire is for God. Look at verse 1. He is eager to be with him, with God. David is eager to be with God. Verse 1. Earnestly. The word earnestly could be translated early. I seek you. The thought seems to be, though, the eagerness of a friend who wants to be and longs to be in touch with one that he holds very dear. That's the picture here. David is longing to be in touch with and in communion with the God that he holds so dear. He longs, he thirsts for God. He's thirsting and longing for an ongoing, intimate, the deepest of intimacy with his Father. The picture here makes me think of the story, or just a scene that could be repeated just about anywhere. Is the college student, the young college student, who is so busy working on his job and going to school with a heavy load that he can't find time for anything. And all of a sudden, he meets this wonderful young lady. And the next thing you know, he is making time. Why? Why? Because it's not a duty. It's a delight for him to spend time in the presence of the young lady that he's attracted to. Could you multiply that 16 gazillion times? And that's the kind of desire and longing we are to have to be in the presence of our God. What is your greatest desire? Some relationship on this earth? Is it anywhere close to your desire to be in an intimate walk and communion and fellowship with your Heavenly Father? Well, you've got it wrong if there's any comparison between the two. I'm telling you. We should long, as David did, We will find time in our schedule, no matter how many jobs we're working, no matter how busy life is, we will find time to be in the presence of our Father, because it's not a duty, it's a delight to be in His presence. Like David expressed in Psalm 42, 1 through 2, he says that my soul pants, right? We sing it. My soul thirsts for God like the deer who pants for water. Is that a description of your life right now? If you're delighting and your greatest delight is in God, you are panting for Him. You want to be in His presence. You want to draw near to Him in the deepest and most intimate relationship. Not only do we see His desires for God because He demonstrates that by eagerly wanting to be with God, but also by responding to Him with praise. Responding to Him with praise. Look at verses 2 through 4. I have seen You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. I will bless You as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. David knew God. He said, my God, His personal God. He's your God too, by the way. But that's the way we approach it. He's my God. Not in a selfish way, but He in a personal way. He's not some impersonal God. He's a God who longs for some reason to have fellowship with me, for me to come into His presence, to spend time with Him. I'll never figure that out. But God longs for that. We should desire that. David knew Him as his God. He had experienced, he says, His power and His glory. Time and time again, David saw the power of God, the glory of God. And it was expressed continually, every day, verse 3, through His loving kindness. It's better than life? Wow. That's what we delight in, the loving kindness of God, which is better than life. Therefore, he says, I will respond by praising You, by worshiping You as long as I live. As long as I have breath, he says, I'm going to praise You. Why? Because I've experienced You. I love You. Your loving kindness is better than life. Your power has been demonstrated over and over again. And I long to be in Your presence. I long to continue to give You praise and honor and glory that is due Your name. I will lift up my hands to You. Yes, that's okay. That's a proper response in this case. What is he saying? He's lifting up hands or eyes to heaven, to God, which gives the body its share in expressing praise and worship to God. That's appropriate. It was appropriate for David. It's appropriate for you and me. If that's how we feel, we want to express our praise and worship to our Father, so be it. Because it is expressing our worship and praise to our Father that we long for. Oh God, You are my God, and I will ever praise You. Wow. That song goes on to say, I will seek You in the morning. I will praise You, but guess what? I'll seek You because I desire You, God, above gold, above silver, above anything else, because You're more precious. What is your desire? What do you take greatest delight in? To delight in something is to find great pleasure in something. But I said that earlier, but let me add this. To the point that you are longing for whatever it is or whoever it is constantly. I mean, there are people. I described the young college student, okay? I mean, they get so giddy, crazy about it that they can't talk about anything. They don't seek anything else. They've just a one-track mind on that girl. That's the way it should be with you and me. We should constantly, moment by moment, desire Him, thirst for Him, long for Him, yearn for this God. May our deepest desire be for our God. And if it is, He will be, and the greatest satisfaction, therefore, the one who delights in God, his greatest satisfaction will be in God. His greatest satisfaction is in his God. Not only does he desire God, but he finds the greatest of satisfaction in his God. Look at verses 5 and 6. My soul is satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now don't let that throw you off. And my mouth offers praise to you with joyful lips. He's talking here about the satisfaction that we find in our God, which is a lasting fulfillment, he's talking about. A lasting fulfillment. It's not something temporary. It is a lasting, ongoing fulfillment. The marrow and the fatness refer to the gourmet cook's richest dishes, folks. What do you long for? There are things right now I could describe, and some of you are already in that lunch, Mother's Day lunch mode right now, and you're thinking about what you're going to be eating. For right now, that's okay. For sake of illustration, think of it. It makes you salivate almost, right? Some of you are back there drooling. It's not because you're sleeping today. It's because you're longing for that fine dish, that gourmet dish. And that's what he's talking about, that thing we long for that brings us the greatest delight. It's the idea here of being satisfied with God in one's innermost being like that after a feast of food. You know what it is when you eat that meal that you've been longing for? And you just sit back in your easy chair or wherever you might be, and you're just, you may have to unbutton your pants a little bit or whatever. The next thing you know, you're just stretched out there thinking, wow, am I happy? Because you're so satisfied. Because you longed for it, and it was just as good as you thought it was going to be. By the way, that was good food last night, Miss Amy and your team. Any of it for lunch today? No. You long for something that satisfies you. In the sense here of food, but we are likewise to long for God, to find our fullest, deepest gratification and satisfaction and fulfillment in our God. There are foods, there are drinks that bring us great refreshment and great satisfaction. But like Snickers, check this out.
Talking to clients all day long can make me real hungry. When I'm hungry, I'm not a very good listener.
Snickers
satisfies you. To tell you the truth, I keep a Snickers bar in the third drawer of my desk. Takes the edge off my hunger and fills me up just fine.
Packed with peanuts, peanut butter nougat, caramel, and milk chocolate.
Satisfies you.
Packed with peanuts, Snickers really satisfies.
When it seems like forever to my next meal, Snickers pulls me over beautifully.
Wow. Forgive us for the 1986, I believe, that particular one. And it sounded like it. Is Snickers that satisfying? I like them, by the way. And I don't know too many people on this planet who don't. And I know, folks, that I can take a bite of candy. Matter of fact, sweet little Jesse was giving out candy to some people last week, gave me a couple of little candies, chocolate candies. I put them in my drawer Wednesday night. I was here the whole day and hadn't eaten dinner and was going to just wait till I got home. I thought I need something to curb my appetite for a little while. And I popped one of those chocolates in there, and I made it till dinner when I got home. Made a grilled ham and cheese dip with honey. But I got something a little more substance than chocolate. It just took the edge off of it. And it was satisfying. It was very satisfying. Snickers are very satisfying. But they're not real fulfilling. They satisfy temporarily, but they don't satisfy long term. It takes the edge off my hunger and it fills me up just fine, she said. Well, I'm afraid that many of us fall for that. All the temporal satisfactions that we pursue, all the things we pursue to fill up our lives to find what we call fulfillment in life. And there are temporal things that may curb our appetite for the moment. But here's a problem. I'm very convinced that many of those temporal pursuits for fulfillment and satisfaction end up curbing our appetite for Him. Because they get in the way. We're fooled into thinking, I can do this and pursue this and I'm going to be fulfilled. And we pursue it. We spend money on it that we may not should spend. And we end up within a day right where we were. And we use that as our pursuit and don't take time to pursue the one and the only one who truly, truly satisfies. We must look for fulfillment not in people, not in pleasure, not in possessions, but we're to look for fulfillment and deep, ongoing, permanent fulfillment in God and God alone. And might I caution you here? And I mentioned it earlier, but I want to remind you, not even finding fulfillment in all the things God provides. Because He may not provide all those things all the time, right? There are times we figure, like, whoa, we've got it. Stay your hand, God. I can't take anymore. And then there are times we're saying, where is it, God? He's the same God. And guess what? He'll bring the same fulfillment in the lean times and in the fat times if we are pursuing Him for our satisfaction and not the things He provides. Are you pursuing God? Longing for Him? Are you finding that your satisfaction comes simply by having a deep, intimate relationship with your Heavenly Father? And no matter what the circumstances are around you, do you realize that David was in some pretty difficult circumstances? Bitter attacks upon him. And yet, what was he doing? Delighting in God. For only He can satisfy. Do you really believe that? I mean, I think we sing that, didn't we? For only He can satisfy. For only He can satisfy. Why is it then if we sing that and we say we believe that we put too many other things out here that we pursue thinking we're going to find satisfaction in that? I'm not opposed to pleasure, folks. Recreation and pleasure, rest is a good thing. It's a biblical thing. God rested, okay? Case dismissed. It's okay to rest. To recreate. But we get it so out of whack. We are so out of balance so many times because those are the things we pursue, possessions and pleasure. If we pursue God, guess what? He will provide. He's the one that promised, seek first the kingdom of God. Everything we need to live a fulfilling life, He will provide. And He promised it, and He will do it. But we need to seek first the kingdom of God. We need to seek first His righteousness, for only He can truly satisfy. Are you like Paul, who found contentment and lasting satisfaction? He says, I have learned, Philippians 4:11, to be content in any and every circumstance. He says, I've had a lot and I've had nothing. In all these situations from there and in between, he says, I was content. Why? Because he put and found his contentment, his satisfaction in God. Because he finishes that whole thing up or continues in 4:13, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content in all circumstances. Why? Because of Christ who strengthens me. The one that I long for, the one I desire, the one in whom I am finding my greatest pleasure and satisfaction, the one in whom I am delighting, and I find my greatest pleasure in Him and Him alone. We experience this satisfaction, fulfillment from God, look at verse 6, when we meditate upon Him. Here's where we come in. It's not just saying, I'm going to seek God, but we need to continue to meditate upon Him. Look at verse 6. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. David is referring to remembering God on his bed and meditating upon Him in the night watches. He is continually drawn to God. And his wakefulness through the night watches, he's saying, just gives him a greater opportunity to think about or meditate upon God. Isn't that cool? He doesn't just waste his time on something. He spends his time meditating upon God, making the best possible use of his time. The wilderness of verse 1. He talked about, I in the dry and weary land, when I'm under attack, whatever it might be. During that particular time, that wilderness journey, if you will, sharpened his appetite for God, and therefore his wakefulness in the night allowed him that greater opportunity to meditate upon, to think upon God. Remember, meditation is not just in Scripture, and we're going to get to that, is not just reading a verse, it's mulling it over like the cow chewing the cud, thinking about it, going over it, going back and forth in your mind, in your heart, making it a part of you. That's what he means to meditate upon God through His Word. Psalm 107, verse 9 says, God satisfies the thirsty soul. Is your soul thirsty? That's the question. When we thirst for God and pursue God, He satisfies. Don't think you're going to have a lasting, fulfilling life, spiritually speaking, if you're not pursuing God. Psalm 90, verse 14 says, He satisfies us in the morning with His loving kindness. Wow. As we open God's Word, as we meditate upon God's Word, Psalm 1, that whole psalm is about, blessed is the one who meditates upon the Word of God. One who makes the Word of God part of his life. It leads to spiritual prosperity, not necessarily financial, monetary prosperity, but the deepest fulfillment of all his spiritual satisfaction and desires God will meet. That's what it says. If he does what? If he meditates upon God through his Word. As we do so, we will live a truly fulfilling, deeply satisfying life. But we must take time to meditate upon him through his Word. Isaiah. I'm going to read you something from Isaiah 58. I think these verses are apropos for what we're talking about here today. So Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasures, and speaking your own word, then you will delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Did you hear that? Folks, if you don't understand what I read, he's simply saying this: turn from yourself and delight in your God, and he'll bless your socks off. That's the Neil version, I understand. But it's true. It's true. But we got to turn from self. We got to turn from all those things that fill up my selfish, carnal, fleshly desires. And there's a bunch of them in life, and the world feeds that. Everywhere we turn, the world is feeding that. Commercials, you name it. You deserve it. This is the way you're fulfilled in life. Pursue this. It's going to fill up that longing that you have. We pursue it, and we're empty. We pursue God, we're full. Wow, isn't that interesting? We need to meditate upon the Word, upon the Lord through His Word. Turn from our selfish desires, delight in God. In whom are, or in what are you finding your greatest delight? In God? In what God provides? Or in God? In God and Him alone. Delighting in God implies, folks, that we have chosen Him as the supreme good of our soul. We have chosen Him as our all fully satisfying portion. Lamentations, that wonderful chapter 3 that we quote, "Great is thy faithfulness," in verse 23. "His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And we usually stop there. Verse 24 says, "The Lord is my portion," says my soul. "Therefore, I have hope in Him." Even when I'm under attack, "The Lord is my portion," he says. We need to say from our soul, we need to remind our soul. Our soul needs to cry out, "The Lord is my portion." Not the things around me, not the relationships around me. Relationships are important. But my hope, my fullest satisfaction is in the one who is my portion. And I must pursue him. A third and final trait of one who delights in God: his dependence is upon God whom he follows. His dependence upon God, the one that he follows. Verses 7 through 11. In verses 7 through 11, we find that David is saying that he is resting in his protector. He rests in his protector. He has found God to be the one who satisfies, the one who protects. He is fully aware, verse 7, of God's help. "You have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy." Why? Because he's resting under God's wings. He knows God is his protector. He knows no matter what happens around him, God is the one who protects his life. Therefore, he can rest in God. He knows God is the one who upholds him. "Your right hand," verse 8, "upholds me." I love the picture here, because you think about the parent. You say to your child, "Let me hold your hand." You don't want them to hold your hand, do you? What happens if they hold your hand and you don't hold? The next thing you know, they're darting out in front of the traffic. Children do that, by the way. You want to hold them. This is the picture. We can hold on to God all day long, but we're going to let loose once in a while. God holds on to us because he's our protector. He's the one that keeps us from doing the stupid things that we do. But we're not always resting under his protection. We get out from under that umbrella, if you will, of protection, and we decide we're going to do it our way. We're going to pursue pleasure the way we want to. And that's where we get in trouble. We find ourselves empty. God will forgive, and God will help us to move forward in his forgiveness and his cleansing and continue to rest in Him and follow Him into the path that He would have us to walk, where it's fulfilling forever and ever and ever. 'Tis far better to let Him choose the way that we should take. If only we leave our lives to Him, He will guide us without mistake. We, in our blindness, would never choose a pathway that's dark and rough. And so we should ever find in Him the God who is enough. Is that what you're finding? As you seek Him, He's enough. If you're longing for anything else other than God, you're not delighting in God. I'll just tell you that. You're delighting in the temporal pleasure that the world offers. We see that He is living in dependence upon the God that He follows. He rests in His protector, His provider. He is, if you will, verse 8, a devoted follower of this God. He is a devoted follower. Delighting in the Lord implies, folks, submission of our will to obey Him. That is the picture of David, verse 8. My soul clings to You. He is clinging to God. What does that mean? It is the same word that's used in Genesis 2:24. It'll be familiar when you hear it. The man shall leave his father and his mother in marriage and therefore cling to his wife. And there's a lot of leaving, but not enough cleaving going on today. What does that mean? The husband is to stick to be fully devoted to his wife. In Deuteronomy 10:20, God's people are commanded to do what? To reverence the Lord and to cling to the Lord. What does that mean? Be devoted to Him. Stick to Him. Wholehearted, fully devoted to the Lord. When I think of clinging, folks, I'm sorry. I hope I don't distract you too much. I think of those crazy, whatever you call them, dryer sheets that you put in the dryer. And the next thing you know, they're clinging to everything. And then 2 days later, you put on your pants. And then all of a sudden, at some point, you find that you're taking that stupid dryer sheet everywhere you go. Because it what? It won't let go. It clings to you. I know it's pretty stupid, but would you think of that next time? That's the way I need to be. I need to cling to my Lord. I need to be a fully devoted follower who sticks closely to Him. He holds on to me. I need to embrace Him with all I got and to never let go. May we delight in the Lord and may we cling to the Lord no matter where the path of life may lead us. Why? Because He alone is God. He alone is enough to satisfy the deepest longings of our soul. Are the deepest desires of your heart and soul for your God? You need to answer that question. It's important. Are you looking to Him and finding in Him true satisfaction for your soul? Are you following in complete dependence upon Him as a wholehearted, fully devoted follower of His? Something I will add to verse 8, to cling to God also carries the idea of going after something with most intense of desire. So in this case, it's following God with the most intense desire to cling to Him and to follow closely after Him. Therefore, the story of Socrates was approached by a young man who asked Socrates, "Can I be your disciple?" To which Socrates responded by grabbing the young man by the head and the neck, and he dunked his head underwater, and he held him down for quite a while. He finally released him, and as he came up, just gasping for air, Socrates looked at him and said, "When you desire the truth as much as you were seeking air, then you can be my disciple. I want to leave you with this. My prayer is that we all will delight in God and in Him alone and trust Him to provide the fulfillment He will, whatever shape, form, or fashion it may take. I pray that we will so desire to know and follow our God like the young man gasping for air. May we be fully devoted followers who seek God, who delight in God above anything.